Howdy, howdy do, Who fans, and welcome to the Big Blue Box Podcast. My name's Gary.
My name's Adam.
And welcome to episode 265.
Yeehaw! One day, I shall come back. Yes, I shall come back. Until then, there must be no regrets, no tears, no anxieties. Just go forward in all your beliefs and prove to me that I am not mistaken in mine.
Our lives are different to anybody else's. That's the exciting thing. Nobody in the universe can do what we're doing.
I've reversed the polarity of the neutron flow, so the TARDIS should be free of the force field now.
You may be a doctor, but I'm the doctor. The definite article, you might say.
The trouble with time travel is, one never seems to find the time.
Change, my dear. And it seems on a moment too soon.
Unlimited rice pudding, etc., etc.
I am the doctor.
For now, for this moment, I am the doctor again.
The ground beneath our feet is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. And the entire planet is hurtling around the sun at 67,000 miles an hour. And I can feel it. We're falling through space, you and me.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect. But actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
I could be a curator. I'd be great at curating. I'd be the great curator.
I could retire and do that.
I'm the doctor. I've lived for over 2,000 years, and not all of them were good. I've made many mistakes, and it's about time that I did something about that.
Bit of adrenaline, dash of outrage, and a hint of panic knitted my brain back together. I know exactly who I am. I'm the Doctor. Sorting out fair play throughout the universe.
Howdy, 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 howdy do. Who fans, hope you're all well, keeping safe and healthy. Hope you've all had a cracking week and you've all managed to do something
Doctor Who related.
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Newbies that have jumped on board, waving. Welcome. Long-time listeners, welcome back. Good to have you all.
Grizzled ancients.
Grizzled ancients, as we call them. Yep.
I like that one.
Yep, yep. Lockdown continuing, dude. Hope you're doing well. You doing all right?
Yeah, doing good. Doing fine.
I see that you've continued your beer runs throughout lockdown. Most of your Instagram pics, you've got a nice bottle of beer in the garden, because the weather's been pretty crap the last couple of days. But prior to that, we've had glorious sunshine here in the UK.
Oh, it's been the weather's been amazing. Yeah, and yes, I think I've probably put on about a stone.
Me too, mate.
The drinking and barbecues over the last few weeks. Yeah, because that's the thing. I'm lucky enough to have a garden, so we can sit out and drink and eat and stuff. But in terms of actually exercise and going out, like we went for a walk the other day just to actually move, because otherwise you just sit. So before I know it, it's 10 o'clock at night and I'm like, I've done nothing. I've watched TV. And it's like really easy to just sit and do nothing. So we went for a walk the other day and I was nearly dead by the time I got back. I was like crawling through the door. I was like, oh, God knows what I'm going to be like when I go back to work. But yeah, I've had a couple of beers. Not this morning, it's too early, but yeah.
Couple of beers.
Yeah, I've been sorting stuff out in the shed. I found loads of old Doctor Who goodies in the shed. There was a couple of things I couldn't believe I'd put them in there. I was like, what's this doing in there? And loads of old Doctor Who Adventure magazines. Do you remember that? Is that what it was called? Doctor Adventure?
Adventure, yeah, that was it.
Something like that, yeah. Found a whole pile of those. And then some of them have got little freebie gifts still sellotaped the front of them. One of them's a little Sonic, which I know the listeners can't see, but you can see it. This little Matt Smith Sonic. It's actually quite cool. So I've brought that in and I've popped that on my desk. I found an old canine book, it was one I had as a kid. It's not a graphic novel, but it's, you know, like a little kid's book of canine adventures. I was like, oh my gosh, it's got my name written in it. I think it says something like Adam is five. This is his canine book or something like that. All sorts of little gems. I was like, these shouldn't be outside, these need to come indoors. And the look I got was
the look you got.
Well, it's like, you're not bringing all this rubbish in, are you? I'm like, yeah, It's all coming back in the house. Nowhere to put it. It's just scattered all around the place. Remote control Knight Rider car.
Oh, cool, cool.
I know. I was I've got this needs cleaning up. This needs to go again. Mask. Do you remember Mask, the cartoon?
Yeah, I had those
Some
toys.
Mask toys. Yep. Oh, all sorts of Inspector Gadget doll. I'll tell you, I was in my element. I can't believe all this stuff's just been in that shed rotting away. Anyway, it's all come back in and been cleaned up. And yeah, I've been sat there with a beer, cleaning up Inspector Gadget.
Nice.
Yeah. I've even still got his hand. He's got one of those hands that fires off.
Oh, yeah.
So you press a button and his hand flies off. And that's normally the sort of thing you lose, isn't it?
Go Gadget hand.
Go Gadget hand. And he's still got his hand. So... yeah. That's been that. I have been doing some Doctor Who stuff, though. I've been listening to a bit of Big Finish recently. Okay, I listened to the first story in Susan's War with Carol Ann Ford and William Russell. Really enjoyed that. I don't know if you've got round to listen to that yet. I know one of our Blue Box reviewers did a review of it the other day.
Yes. No, it's on the list, but I've not. Yeah, so the next one on the list for me is the Torchwood. Strange kind of tropical beach sounds and other relaxing seascapes thing that they brought out a few weeks back. So that's on the next on the list. And then the one after that is Susan's War. Yeah.
Well, I've only listened to the first story so far, but really, really enjoyed it. They make a really great partnership, actually, Susan and Ian. And Ian's playing sort of his older self, so obviously William Russell does sound a bit older, so that suits him. But Carol Ann Ford's voice hasn't really changed at all. She sounds just like she did, you know, like, because that's the thing with some of the Big Finish, you know, inevitably the actors' voices have changed over the years, so they don't always sound the same as they did back in the day. And so I really like the Blake 7 releases they do, but Stephen Pacey, who played Taron in Blake 7, I can't even recognize him when he's speaking. It honestly took me about three stories to realize, oh, that's Taron. And it's actually the same actor, because he does sound so different to me anyway. But so I've been listening to Susan's War. Really, really enjoyed what I've heard of that so far. And the only other thing that's been happening really is the season 14 set has been sent to the warehouse from Zoom. So it's on its way to me, I think that means. So I'm very excited to get that.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to be. I was going to mention that I saw that it had come out of my bank account, so that was a nice double-edged sword, because it's literally just a couple of days away from payday.
Yes,
and I'd budgeted for certain things, moved some money around. I thought that'd be all right. Forgot about this one, and then bosh, £40 comes out of the account. I was like, here we go.
Actually, I forgot to check if it's actually if they've taken the money yet.
They've taken it from mine when they changed the status to. Sent to warehouse, I think it is.
Oh, does that mean they've taken the money?
I think so.
Ah, good. Because yeah. I saw a lot of people have had a problem the bank have picked up on Zoom being a suspicious activity and have sort of not gone through with the payment. And it seems to have happened to a lot of people. And it's specifically with Zoom orders. So I don't know what it is about Zoom that's triggered that. It's not just been one or two. Like a lot of my friends on Twitter have been posting, oh, that happened to me. Like as soon as one person posted it, everyone else underneath the comments was like, yes, I've had the same thing. My bank refused it. And I just wanted to make sure that, you know, it's not at the warehouse waiting for them to take payment. Hopefully it's on its way.
Yeah, I saw a few tweets about that where people complained about the bank stuff. And there's also a bunch of tweets that I saw where, I don't know if it was Zoom, I can't remember, but they said that a lot of their orders were cancelled.
Yes.
A bunch of pre-orders just came up as they got an email to say that your pre-order's been cancelled. I think it's a stock issue, must be.
Yeah, now I saw that, and bizarrely, because I got really panicky, I saw some people had theirs cancelled. And then yesterday, and my word, you had to be quick, suddenly Zoom put the link up again, and for about 20 minutes max, there was some for sale on Zoom again, because our good friend Matthew Rowney from The Who Addicts jumped on as soon as he found out about it, ordered it, and he texted me to say, I've managed to get a season 14. Zoom have got it back on. I was like, oh, wow, they've got some more, have they? And then literally 5 minutes later, I checked the link and it had gone down, and I messaged him and said, good job you got in there, buddy, because they've already gone. They've already taken the link down. So I don't know what's going on with the stock there, but yeah. I just hope everyone who ordered it gets it, because I've seen a few I've seen a couple of people on Twitter post pictures of it. They've obviously been sent review copies. Like, I saw someone who's go check out my review of the unboxing, and somebody else who's like posted loads of pictures. They've obviously been sent a free review copy. And I'm thinking, I don't know, with something like this, I don't really think there should be review copies, because, you know, let the people who want to buy it get it first. I mean, it's not as if something like that even needs promoting, does it? It's already sold out.
Exactly.
So yeah. I was thinking, yep. Yeah, it's a bit unfair to anyone that's had their, you know, their copy sort of cancelled, their order cancelled, to see somebody getting it for free just so they can, yeah. But anyway, I'm very much looking forward to it. It does look really, really nice. It's a good season, that as well, isn't it? It's a really good one.
Oh, it's got some crackers on there. Mm. Yeah, you know, it's good. Yeah, and I saw that on Zoom. I must have lived on Twitter for a little while, because again, I saw a couple of tweets saying that that the Series 14 had jumped on there again. But it's strange though, because when it's sold out, because on the other sets you can just go on there and it says, like the previous collections, you can go on there and it says it's sold out, which is fine. But for this one, they've taken it off completely. Like, you can't even find the product anymore on the website. And
yeah, they obviously just know they're not going to get any more, and that's it, isn't it? So. Yep. Yeah, so you've ordered yours from Zoom as well.
Yes, yeah.
It's that there's always the chance that we'll get it early from Zoom. Sometimes if you order from Zoom, you get it the Saturday before it's supposed to come out. That might not happen this week, because have you seen the news about the postal service? They've decided from this weekend onwards they're not going to deliver on a Saturday. Oh, of all the weekends to choose.
Yeah, well, I think that's a dangerous mindset to get into. And I've fell into that trap a few times before where I've seen a bunch of people who have posted on social to say, yes, this has come early, and they've put a photo of it and all the rest of it, and then yours doesn't. So you kind of get this false sense of, oh yeah, mine's probably going to come early, or it's going to come early. And when it doesn't, there's just this bit of, oh. And then it makes it worse when you go on to Instagram or Twitter and everyone's posting their ones that they've got early. It really just, yeah, it's a dangerous thing to fall into.
I was just going to say, it's the worst thing as well, isn't it? When you've ordered it from Zoom and then you go online and everybody's posting pictures. Oh, it's a good old Zoom. It's arrived early. Yeah. And you're like, where's mine? It is the worst thing, because it's so frustrating. That did happen with my last set. What was the last one? No, actually not season. It wasn't the Suez McCall one, but it was one of the Tom Baker. It might have been season 18, actually.
Oh, the
everyone had
Pertwee
got
one.
Theirs. And I was like, where's, or Pertwee maybe. Yep. And I was like, where's mine? Like, I ordered it from Zoom. Where's mine? Yeah, so, because, yeah, if you see everyone's got it, it's very frustrating.
It is, yeah. Yep.
But it's going to be worth the wait, isn't it, that one? That is. I'm just glad it's out as well, because I was slightly worried with everything that's going on that it would be delayed as well. Because I think my, the Steelbook from Amazon, you know, of Series 12, there's an exclusive Steelbook, which I ordered because the artwork looks fantastic. I got an email from Amazon the other day to say that's been, like, push back because of the virus or something. So I don't know. So I'm glad that hasn't happened with season 14.
No, I agree, dude. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the behind the sofa on this one as well.
Yes.
Tom and Louise and
oh no, the documentary, the Sarah Jane one. Oh, we're gonna be in bits.
Our Sarah Jane.
I'm gonna have to really be in the right, I'm gonna have to prepare myself before I put that on, I tell you.
Did you know what? It's just, yeah, the whole Liz Sladen thing is just killing me at the moment. Like last week when we recorded, I think that's the first time I've ever come, I was on the verge, mate, of just saying, I was on the verge of saying to you, we're going to have to stop for a minute.
I know, I could tell.
Yeah, because, and I thought, can I get through it? Can I just, it was really, it was heart-wrenching that. So this is going to be another one where it's like, my wife's going to walk in, but what are you bloody crying for now?
I'm going to have to watch that one alone. I'm going to have to shut myself away to watch that documentary.
Yeah, it's going to be good. And we're going to have the Matthew Sweet. He's going to be chatting to Philip Pinchcliffe. That looks really good. And also the new commentaries as well. So along with Behind the Sofa, the new commentaries for some of the stories as well, with Tom and Matt Sweet going through the Phase of Evil and Talons, which is going to be good.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah. Be a good one.
Just talking to watching stuff, did you get to see any of the Big Night In? Which featured all the doctors doing a thank you to the NHS staff.
No, I didn't. I watched the Big Night In that featured some of the doctors.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
But I didn't see, there was one, we'll come on to this in our news story as well in a second.
Oh, are we? Oh, am I jumping ahead?
No, this is related to that. But I did watch some of the Big Night In. I watched the Vicar of Dibley sketch was with Dawn French was really good, and the the Little Britain stuff was really funny.
I have to be honest, just quickly, the Little Britain one, now that's the one I thought, oh dear, because that's a bit of its time, and I thought that was going to be terrible. They kept saying, oh, Little Britain are back together, and I thought, it's going to be awful. It's like, it's just of its day. It was really good, wasn't it? Because they did something totally different, and I actually had to really sort of eat humble pie. I thought it was brilliant what those guys did. I have to give credit where it's due. Matt Lucas and Dave Williams, they... Yeah, I mean, it's such a simple idea, but it was really funny.
They didn't hold back either, are they?
No.
It was quite close to the knuckle, some of it. It was funny. But the Catherine Tate sketch with David Tennant was really funny. You know, the Lauren schoolgirl thing, yeah, and the TikTok dance at the end. That was really good. But yes, the doctor's little collaborative little thank you message was really nice. Did you like that?
I did. Yeah. I thought it was... again, quite moving, really touching, just lovely to see nearly all the doctors there. I did think it was lovely, really lovely. And I'm glad they included Roof Doctor. I know there was some idiots on Twitter, but we'll ignore them. I think it's great that she was part of that. I thought it was a really, really nice thing to do. Obviously, there is a bit of an elephant in the room. There was one doctor missing. I do think it's a shame he didn't do it. I mean, it was would have taken like 5 seconds, because it was just them basically saying thank you. All he had to do, that's all he had to do, was record that on his phone. He obviously has his reasons. I'm not going to condemn the man. I'm sure there's reasons he didn't do it. We are, of course, talking about Christopher Eccleston, who wasn't part of it, the only living doctor missing. It did feel sad for him not to be part of it, I thought. Yeah. Whatever his reasons, I just thought, come on, Chris. I don't know. I'm not going to judge him. I'm sure he's got his reasons, but it did feel like it was such a shame that had all the doctors bar Eccleston doing it.
Yeah, and I was surprised as well, because he seems to have relaxed the reins a little bit over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
He's appeared at a bunch of conventions and done photo shoots with people and seems to have embraced the fandom a bit more, and I just felt like, because it was for charity as well and everyone was doing it, it was really weird actually, because I was halfway through typing a message to you to say, isn't it a shame that Eccleston didn't appear in that stuff, and as I was typing it, your message to me came through saying pretty much the same thing.
Yeah,
and I thought exactly the same thing when it was, I loved it when it was going on, but as soon as it finished I thought, Why wouldn't Eccleston be involved in that? Because it's nothing to do with anything to do with Doctor Who, as in promoting the show. Certainly nothing to do with Russell T. Davies. It wasn't like the watch along that we had recently and all that jazz. It was literally just a very short little, it was more like the actors from past Who, with the exception of Jodie, of course. It was more like, you know, the actors of past Who have just jumped on just to say a thank you. It was nothing to do with pushing or promoting the show at all. I was really confused and disappointed, really. And like you said, he's got his reasons, clearly, but it's just a shame.
It felt like he should have been there, because if you go on his Instagram, it's clearly something he's quite passionate about. Because that's the thing, people said, oh, he's done his own thing on Instagram. He did a post about it, didn't he? But it felt like to me he should have been there. Because all it was, I'm sure everybody's seen it, but for anybody that hasn't, all the previous incarnations of the Doctor had basically jumped on their phone. Sylvester, bless him, was practically at his face so close that you could barely see him. They'd all jumped on their phone and taken just 2 minutes to record them saying, for everything the NHS do for us, we say thank you. And that's it.
Yeah,
that's all he needed to do. I know I am judging him a bit, but I just think, come on, Chris, that's all it took. It was not even like 20 seconds, and it just felt, yeah. But anyway, looking at the positive of it, it was a really nice thing. Yeah, it was a really nice thing. Yeah. I don't know about you, but the bit with Tom really got me, because obviously Tom's my favourite Doctor, and there's just something about that man. So as soon as he appeared with his red scarf wrapped around his neck, and he did look quite frail, bless him, didn't he?
Yeah, that's why I said that to you in Yeah. When we started chatting afterwards.
He looks good. He's 86, for goodness sake. Course, he still looks good for his age. But obviously he has aged. But just to see him and the way he said it and everything, just so heartfelt. And, you know, but it was a nice thing. It was a nice thing.
It was very nice, actually, yeah.
There is two other things, though, that I find strange about that, just while we're talking about it. Two things, little things that I thought were odd. So the doctors, there had been a post about it on Twitter that all the doctors were going to do this thing for the NHS. Mm-hmm. So we were all watching, waiting for it. Now, normally, when they do these things, they sort of say, oh, coming up, the doctors say, so they did that for everything bar Doctor Who. So at one point, an hour into the show, people were jumping on Twitter saying, is this not happening anymore? Why are they're not talking about it? Like, they're not saying, they keep saying what's coming up and they're not mentioning Doctor Who. So it came out of nowhere. And I must admit, I nearly switched over, because as much as it was a good, well-intended thing, the presenters were doing my head in a bit, to be honest. It was a little bit forced fun at times. I was getting a bit fed up. So I was nearly switching over, but I thought, nah, come on, I got away with the Doctor Who thing. And I thought, being Doctor Who, they're not going to show it too late, because they'll want to show it, you know, when the kids are still up. Mm-hmm. And then it suddenly came on, didn't it? Like, literally out of nowhere. But they didn't sort of promote it at all up to that point. And yeah, they promoted every single thing. And that, so I thought, oh, well, maybe they just, I don't know, perhaps there was a reason for it. But then to add to that, on the news the next day, the BBC News, they did a whole 5-minute feature on this, talking about how much they'd raised, all the people involved. They showed lots of clips from sketches. Didn't mention Doctor Who at all, but pretty much mentioned everything else. They talked about EastEnders doing a virtual pub quiz. They talked about the Catherine Tate and David Tennant sketch, everything else bar Doctor Who. And I thought, this is odd. Normally the BBC, it's right up there. It's the first, you know, all the doctors got together and said a thing to it. Not even mentioned.
Strange.
So I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I thought it was really odd that they didn't promote it and they didn't even mention it the following day. Yeah, they seemed to mention and promote everything else.
Now, I read you, mate. It was a strange,
very odd,
very odd thing, wasn't it? Because when I first turned, I missed the first 10 minutes, and initially I thought, oh no, have they kicked off with Doctor Who? Have I missed it?
Yeah, a lot of people did. Yeah.
Yeah. Have they done it in the first 10 minutes? And then I thought, oh, maybe not, because I haven't seen anything on Twitter about it. So maybe it's fine. It's going to come up. And like you, I'm like, they're pushing the EastEnders thing. They're pushing the
Little Britain. They must have mentioned Vicar of Dibley.
Yep. All that stuff.
They mentioned all of it. Yeah.
So I did have to think, well, no, they're not. Have I missed it then? Is it a delayed reaction on Twitter or something? Has it gone out? No, I don't know. But yeah, it was a bit odd, because...
But they did exactly the same on the news. I swear they promoted everything. They said, oh yeah, Little Britain did their bit, and they showed clips from everything, but no Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. I'm not suggesting that the BBC have fallen out, but I just find that odd. Normally it's right up there in the forefront.
Is this a conspiracy theory in the making, dude?
Well,
have you got your cogs turning on this?
I think it's more that it just bugged me more than anything, because I thought it was such a cool thing. Mm. It just really bugged me. I thought, no, you know, get it out there. But anyway.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theories alone.
Yes. Yep. I haven't done anything else, dude. Doctor Who?
No, nor have I really. Apart from loads of watch-alongs. I've been watching a lot of live streams from the Who Addicts and a lot of tweet-alongs and stuff like that. The brilliant Five Doctors tweet-along the other weekend, which was really good fun. Loved watching that again. But apart from that, not much else.
Not much, mate. Yeah. Okie dokie then. Before we get on to news and merch and our review of Torchwood Series 2 kickoff, remember to subscribe to the show in whatever podcast app you listen to your podcasts on. Just do a search for that, or head over to the website, bigblueboxpodcast.co.uk. You can find all the links over there. And if you've got a minute to leave a review and a rating, that would be awesome, because it helps us out loads and loads. And thank you to all the recent reviewers. We had a batch of them that turned up over the last month or two. So thank you to you guys for your reviews. Also, check us out on the socials, Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. We chat Doctor Who throughout the week, so it'd be great to connect with you over there. We have a Discord server as well. The link is on the website in the sidebar. And also check out my co-host channel over on YouTube, The Geek's Handbag. And check out Adam's videos over there, and he's on the socials under the same name.
Love the socials.
The Geek's Handbag.
Yeah.
Right. shall we land old TARDIS and do a wee bit of news? We got a big story coming up, dude, at the end of the year.
Yeah.
This is a cool announcement that went out a couple of days ago. So BBC Studios have announced that there's going to be a new multi-platform story happening later in the year called Time Lord Victorious. And the strapline is very interesting for this one. It's called They're Fighting a Whole New Time War, which is very intriguing indeed. So this is, as I just said, it's a multi-platform thing. So the people that are going to be involved in putting the story out will be the guys over at Penguin Random House for all the book stuff, Doctor Who Magazine, Titan Comics. Interestingly, the escape hunt, the escape room thing is going to be involved as well. Big Finish are going to do stuff. Eagle Moss, Hero Collector stuff. Immersive Everywhere, which I think is the VR stuff. I could be wrong, but I think it's a VR stuff. Mays Theory, BBC Books, and BBC Audio. They're all going to unite to tell a brand new multi-doctor story. So we don't know exactly when. We've just been told that it's going to launch later in the year. It's going to be over 12 weeks worth of storytelling across all those different things. And the blurb is that the Time Lord Victorious will tell a new and untold story set within the dark times at the start of the universe, even when the Eternals were young. Following several doctors across space and time as they defend their home planet from a terrible race, this is a story like no other. So this is a new time period, really, due to be exploring. I don't think we've dived into anything to do with this, especially not much in terms of the Eternals and stuff. So it's a multi-doctor thing, and it's going to focus around the 8th, 9th, and 10th doctors, along with Rose Tyler. She's back. And it will also include the Daleks and the Ood. Ood in a suit, with more to be revealed as in the coming months as they announce more stuff. And James Goss, who's the producer of everything, says all the licensees have come together to tell an amazing epic, one that's full of monsters, fun, and heart. All strands of the story unite into a mighty patchwork that ranges from one end of the universe to the next. There's more to be revealed, but the enthusiasm and ideas which the licensees have come up with are breathtaking. It's going to be so much fun. And I'll link in the show notes, but you can find a bit more information about this over on the official website, doctorwho.tv. So what do you reckon, dude? This is kind of follows suit to what some other franchises have been doing. So any Star Wars fans will be aware that the new time period for their bulk of stories is going to be the High Republic, and they announced something very similar 2 months ago where they're going to do a bunch of multi-platform storytelling across books, magazines, audio, and all that stuff that are going to lead up to potentially a new film or a TV series or something. So it seems to be, oh, and they've also done a similar thing for Lord of the Rings as well. So it seems to be like a thing to do at the minute where you do your storytelling not just in one medium, but you do it across a bunch of different things, and then you unite it all up and all that stuff. So what do you reckon, dude? What do you reckon to the story itself, but also this multi-platform approach?
I'm intrigued by it, and I'm quite excited, actually. The multi-platform thing is a bit of a double-edged sword, because I love the idea of it, but it also makes me think expensive, because I'm thinking, so you guys have to try and collect and get to everything to get every part of the story. But no, I do like the idea behind that. It sounds exciting. I don't know quite. I know a lot of people, obviously you've got the Ninth Doctor on there, are saying, oh, is Chris coming back? I think the chances of that are zero. I honestly don't think he'll be doing any audio or video or anything, possibly a book, because obviously there are books. So I think the Ninth Doctor stuff could possibly be that. Artwork's fantastic, isn't it? Yeah. Love this poster that Lee Binding's done for it, with the Doctors on. I mean, Tennant in that Gallifreyan robe and headpiece just looks immense. It's brilliant. And like I said, you've got an Ood in a suit. What's that about? Yeah. Brilliant. Absolutely love. I mean, that artwork is enough in itself to get me on board with this. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting idea. There is one slight niggle, and that's the... I'm a bit bored of the Time War, and I know this is a a different time war or whatever. But that's the only thing that's possibly a bit. I'm a bit like, yeah, I don't know. Can we think of something else? Like, it does sound a little bit stale. But that's my only nitpick. And I don't, you know, it could be something much better. We don't even know much about this yet. So I'll hold my horses on that. But that's the only thing I did think of when I read the synopsis was, oh, not another blimmin' fight across time, you know, another time war. That's kind of been done to death now. Started as like this really kooky idea from Russell T. Davis that we didn't really know much about. And, you know, sometimes the mystery is more fun than revealing every single aspect of it, because Big Finish have done quite a lot to do with the time war now. But anyway, it does sound very, very intriguing. I'm looking forward to seeing some more details on this, see what's actually going to be coming out from these guys.
It's cool. I think Chris Eccleston's going to have zero involvement in this, mate. I think
very much doubt it.
Yeah, I think as a character he'll be obviously throughout everything. And then for Big Finish, they'll probably get Jacob to do a Jacob Dunman.
Yeah. Or Jacob Dunman.
Or even Nick Briggs. I think he did.
He did an Eye Doctor Chronicle, didn't he?
That's right, yeah. So I think there'll be an impersonation of him on the Big Finish stuff. And then his character will just be written for as usual across the other things. So, yes. Unless he has a change of heart at some point, I'm not sure, but I can't see that happening. But I'm up for it to a degree. I think this sounds cool because they're essentially pulling together a bunch of talent across different mediums, which is very cool. So this could well have easily have just have been another Big Finish box set.
Yeah.
You know, so it's great that they've got a bunch of authors involved and then they're going to flesh it out. So authors in terms of comic books and books, and then also some interactivity with the VR stuff potentially and the escape room. So it does kind of bring it all together. But the only downside to that is that you need to have your wallet needs to be on form because you're going to need to buy every comic, every book, the Big Finish stuff. You're going to have to pay for your, I mean, if you want to do everything 100% for the whole story, you're going to have to pay for your escape room ticket. You're going to have to get the VR game. You're going to have to buy all the books and comics, the Big Finish. So it's not going to be cheap if you want to experience this story from start to finish and take everything in. So I'm hoping that for people that can't afford to do all that, I'm hoping that the bulk of the story, well, they'll choose something that's going to carry the bulk of the story, like a Big Finish and, you know, a couple of books maybe. And then if you want to do like the comics and the escape room, that's just like a bit of supporting content, a bit of supporting story, but you don't have to do it in order to get what's going on.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll take that approach and you won't have to do all that stuff, but it's kind of a cool idea. I mean, the BBC are not stupid, mate, because there will be people that are well into it and they'll buy everything.
Yes, you know, I know.
They'll buy the lot. So they're not stupid in that respect, because what's been completely evident on that we've reported over the past month now is that there's just no decent merch coming through anywhere. You know, they're not really making a ton of money other than the Blu-ray collection box sets, which have sold out, obviously. But other than that, you know, they're not really making any bucks in the old merch department. So this is a good way to get everybody back into comic books and books. And
it does feel like, because like even the title, The Time Lord Victorious, you know, they know that that is a thing. Like, people love that whole The Time Lord Victorious, you know, it's always being hashtagged on Twitter and stuff. So it kind of feels to me like they've decided to try and give people what they want. Like you said, obviously they're looking to make money. So it's to me that they've thought, yeah, this is going to, you know, this is almost certainly going to be a hit, whatever we do.
Yeah,
it does feel like they're giving people what they want in that respect. There's still, you know, David Tennant, whether you like it or not, is still by far one of the most popular Doctors. So to have him forefront on the Time of Victorious thing, it's just hitting the nail on the head in terms of, yeah, the strongest market, I think, in those terms. Yeah.
And so, also... although we know we're 99% sure that Chris Eccleston is not involved in the Big Finish, however, it is going to be very cool to hear David Tennant and Paul McGann together.
Yes.
That's going to be awesome.
If by any miracle they've even got the slightest bit of Eccleston's involvement in this, I think that would just blow the internet. People really, really want that to happen, don't they?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And that's the thing. The more he doesn't do it, it's like anything, isn't it? The more he doesn't do it, the more we want it.
Well, yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe he's playing the long game.
It's a bloody long game at the minute.
yeah.
Don't take too long, mate. You're not getting any younger.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's very, very cool. Right, moving on to other news now. And this is, there's been some great watch-alongs recently. And we've got something a bit different coming up. And it will be on Friday, the 1st of May. So it will be the day that this podcast gets released. So if you're listening to this on the Saturday... you've missed it. But there is going to be a listen along. So instead of watching, a listen along to the Big Finish story, Doctor Who, The Chimes of Midnight, which, as I'm sure a lot of you know, me and Gary rate very highly. It's a Eighth Doctor and Charlotte Pollard story. And it's a belter written by Rob Shearman. So this is going to be going, so you basically got to press play at 7 o'clock in the evening, and you'll be able to listen along and jump on Twitter, because if you follow the hashtag Plum Pudding, Rob Shearman himself and India Fisher, who plays Charlotte, will be tweeting along to this. So you can listen to it. Brilliant story. It's available for free on the BBC SoundCloud, I assume?
It's on
is it the Big Finish SoundCloud? Or
I think it's the Big Finish SoundCloud.
Yep. Yeah, I assume it would be. I'm not sure. But yes, it is out there on a SoundCloud to listen to free. I guess it's got to be the Big Finish one if you don't already own it. I think if you wanted to buy this, I might be wrong, but I think this is part of the first 50. This is only $2.99 to buy, I believe.
It is. You're correct. Yep.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, because all the Big Finish, the first 50 or 100 maybe, I can't remember, are available as download for only $2.99. And I'll tell you what, it's worth every penny. This is a great story. Really, really good story by Rob Shearman.
Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without your plum pudding, Mr. Badley.
So it's interesting. It's nice to do something different, because there's been quite a lot of watch-alongs and they're all good fun. But to have a listen-along, I think, is something a bit different. And, worth doing, I think. If you can get on Friday night, 7 p.m, get it on.
Yeah, it's going to be good. And I think there'll be a couple more people who are going to tweet along for this as well. I don't think it's just going to be...
Surely Nick Briggs will be.
Yeah, I think there'll be a few more people that'll be announced before then. But what a cracking story to do it for, because although it's a Christmas story, it's not like your typical thing. You know, like there are certain things that you watch at certain times of the year, like you watch Home Alone and The Grinch and Muppet Christmas Carol. It's not like that, where you just reserve that stuff just for Crimbo. You can watch it anytime, really. But it's a really, really cracking, sort of atmospheric, creepy story. And McGann's brilliant, and so is India Fit. They're really, really good in this one.
I was going to say atmospheric is the word. It really draws you in, this story. Because I listen, both of us love Big Finish, and there are some stories, when you have it on in the background, you can sort of lose track of, I need to go back and a chapter because I've zoned out or I've missed a bit. I think this one is just one of those. It just really draws you in. It's such a good story. So, yeah, if you haven't heard it, and listen to it for free, or go and download it for $2.99.
Indeedy, yes.
Yes.
And just to confirm, it is defo the Big Finish SoundCloud if you want to listen to it for free. And they've got it on there now. So I know that's no good, because this podcast goes out on a Friday, on the day it's doing it. But I'm not sure how long it's going to be on there afterwards. But go and check that out. It's very, very cool.
He's a lovely fella, is Rob Shearman as well.
Yes,
nice chap he is.
Yeah. Okie dokie, that's news. Not much else going on. We have got one piece of merch to get on with, though.
Yeah, get to out of the garden. He's had too much time off. Get him back in here.
Merch corner. Merch corner. Merch corner.
It's a bit rubbish, but it's pretty. Very pretty.
Well, there you are, young man. What do you think of that now, eh? A Viking helmet.
I know, it's on the telly. It's everywhere.
I don't know whether to be impressed or disgusted.
I work in a shop now, here to help.
Oh, I missed the old merch jingle.
Yes, yeah, me too. Yeah, it's been a while, isn't it? We haven't had anything recently.
Yeah. And good news. the merch for this week is just a re-release of what we've had before. So perfect. What a cracker to come back with. So
yeah.
The Power of the Daleks special edition is going to land this July in the form of a special, like a standard. I know it sounds weird, but the story itself is the special edition, but it's the standard DVD and Blu-ray release that we didn't get the first time round. So they've released this already. They brought the Steelbook out, didn't they, months and months ago, which was, it was a really nice cover, actually. It was, I can't remember who did the cover for it. It was like a really nice sort of purpley, pinky, illustrated sort of cover. You know, it's really nice. And so now they've finally got round to releasing these as, in terms of packaging, it's the standard edition, but it is the special edition story. So this is coming on the 6th of July. So this is the second Dr. Pak Troughton. This was his first story in his run. But obviously, due to everything we already know about, with all the turmoil with filming and tapes and archiving, the stories were lost. So now they animated it, essentially, and brought it out on the Steelbook Blu-ray, first of all.
I will get it. Just for new stuff, it's not the most exciting of releases, to be honest, because although it's 4 years ago, it doesn't feel that long ago that I watched this. I don't know. I'm not in a rush to sort of get it, if you know what I mean. But yeah, it's nice to have it, I suppose, with as much extra features as they can cram onto it, I suppose. Sort of like a complete version of it, if you like, the best we're going to get until, you know, it can be found, if that's even possible.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are you going to get it?
No. I'm not going to get it. Well, I don't know.
You're not in a rush to get it.
Well, the thing is, I've already got it. Everyone that got it has already got it, if that makes sense. So
yeah.
I don't know whether I want to pay 20 quid for a few more extras. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I know that's kind of how I feel. Yeah, it's just a couple of new extras and a new cover, is it? Yeah, I will get it, but I probably won't rush to get it when it comes out. I'll wait till it drops down a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
I'm more excited to hear what the next Blu-ray set is. I was hoping we'd get an announcement, because normally when one's about to come out, like season 14, we get an announcement for the next set, don't we? And I'm guessing that's been held back because of, you know, all the stuff that's going on in the world. But when this was announced, I was thinking, yeah, that's great, but... Where's the next Blu-ray set? That's what I'm really looking forward to. But yeah.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. But anyway, it looks nice enough and great if you haven't already got it.
Yeah. So, I mean, oh, absolutely. If you don't own it at all, then yeah, this will be a great pickup. So,
Yeah.
So the 6th of July, it will be out, and it will be $19.99 on Blu-ray, $14.99 on DVD.
DVD. Yeah.
That's it, bud. No more merch.
No.
That's it. Very light indeedy. So, review time. Over to you.
Review time, yeah. Get your paralyzing lip gloss out, because it's kiss, kiss, bang, bang.
Excuse me, have you seen a blowfish driving a sports car?
Hey, kids, did you miss me?
Rift activity.
I was never here.
It's not one of your spooky dudes, eh?
What was that?
You've got a team. That's sweet.
The city is in danger.
Where's Gwen? Have you heard from Gwen?
Oh, these people, this planet, that's what I come back for.
That's what I come back for. Colgate smile.
Captain Cheesecake.
Right, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Kicking off series 2 of Torchwood, it was first broadcast back on the 16th of January 2008. It was just under an hour. Were the other ones under an hour? Series 1, were they 45 minutes?
I thought they were 45 or 50, yeah.
Yeah, so just under an hour. It was written by Chris Chibnall.
Mm.
It was directed by Ashley Way and stars the usual hub crew that we saw for the best part of Series 1 and one very prominent guest star and then a couple of others littered throughout, but... Basically that. And the plot is, it picks up directly from, or just after, should I say, the whole Utopia Sound of Drums, Last of the Time Lords story stuff. So when we left Torchwood at the end of Series 1, Jack had legged it off with the hand and had gone off with the Doctor and had, we flicked over to Doctor Who, basically had all that stuff. And in that time, the Torchwood guys were just doing their thing as they normally would do. Captain Jack's a bit put out by that because nobody sat around in despair that he's gone. They've just cracked on and got on with it. He comes back. So I think they never state how long he's been away for, but it feels like it's at least a few weeks, maybe a couple of months that he's been away for. Anyway, they're chasing down this blowfish alien thing. They gets cornered. There's a cool little hostage situation scene. Captain Jack turns up and shoots it. His sort of big grand return. None of them are that impressed though. And then out of nowhere, this character turns up who used to be is still a time agent who used to work with Jack back in the day. His name is Captain John Hart, and played by James Masters. He turns up and wreaks havoc, essentially tries to pull the wool over their eyes, masks it all in his story of there are these radioactive canisters that are littered throughout. As always in Torchwood, you know, Cardiff is the place where, you know, because of the rift, all of the activity is there. But actually, he wants to get these canisters because they form part of this little trinket that unlocks this uber valuable diamond. And it turns out he was done over, basically. The woman who he killed to get this thing, she had this mechanism in place where the person that would ultimately murder her, that person's DNA would then be sent into this little explosive device and bang, bang, as the name suggests. So, series two, bud, of Torchwood. Kicking off, what do you reckon?
Good. I enjoyed this. I thought it was a good start to the series, actually. Just tonally, it felt much better straight away, because I think as we've gone through series one, the tone's been a bit all over the place. Found to me like they'd finally sort of found their feet in terms of what they want to do with Torchwood. It had action, it had sharp, witty lines. It was a bit more adult, but it wasn't trying as hard to be too adult. You know, they weren't effing and blinding all over the place like they have done in some episodes. There was a bit of gore, but it wasn't too gratuitous like it's been in series one. So yeah, I thought this was a very promising start to the second series. A good story as well. It moved along at quite a good pace, and I think a lot of that is down to the character of Captain John Hart, just such a brilliant character played by James Masters. So I really enjoyed this one. I thought it was a good story. It wasn't perfect. It did have a few clunky moments in it. But overall, a thumbs up on this one. Thought it was good. A promising start to the second series. As I said, the first series of Torchwood hasn't been as good as I remember. As we've rewatched it, there have been some good bits. But yeah, it was slightly underwhelming on a rewatch, series one. So I'm hoping that this is the start of Torchwood finding its feet and getting better, because I thought it was a good episode.
Yes, I agree.
What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with you, bud. I think in terms of what we went through with series one, so all of those stories we went through, I think we could only pick out maybe a few that were really, really good. There was a bit of, we had a bit of an up and down situation with Torchwood series one.
Yeah.
Mainly because the cast, although they were good individually, they just didn't seem to gel that well.
That's right.
You know, we didn't really have much of a, and some points throughout series one, it was like, I really just don't like you lot sometimes. That was the common feeling, I think. It's just, you lot are great when you've got your own little bits to do, but as a collective, yeah, it just didn't really click sometimes. Where it feels like off the bat for series two, they've sort of addressed that a little bit. You can tell that everything that happened in series one is behind them almost, because you've got, actually with the exception of two things. So the first one is Gwen seems to have moved on. So she's got engaged now to Reese.
Yep.
So those two have kind of put whatever problems they had, or whatever problems she had, now that her and Owen, you know, he's no longer interested, she's trying to move on, I suppose. But then on the other hand, the one thing I was going to say that hasn't moved on is she's clearly still got a thing for Jack, which is weird.
Yeah.
So there's the bit where they're having a chat in the corridor So this is after Captain John Hart has gone through the whole spiel, and then they've worked up this plan to separate and go off and find the canisters. He's like, you know, has a word with her sort of thing, and he leans in and he sort of touches her arm and stuff, and he goes in to kiss her, and she goes in for the kiss, but he moves his head and kisses her on the cheek. And then there's a bit later on in the series where she's about to die because she's handcuffed to John Hart and he's about to explode. And just before they think it's going to happen, she says, tell Captain Jack, tell Jack. And then it cuts off. So you can clearly see that, you can tell that she was about to say, tell Jack I love him.
I really didn't like that bit.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's one of the few, because I enjoyed this episode as a whole, but one of the few negatives was that scene. I thought, she's about to die. She's got back on track with Reese. I love the character of Reese as well. The chemistry between those two is great as well. I think they're a real believable couple. They've got their ups and downs, but they clearly love each other. So I really like Gwen and Reese together. And then she thinks she's facing her final moments of death. And who does she blimmin' call out to? Tell Jack I. And I thought, no, not Jack. Come on, Gwen. It's tell Reese. It should have been tell Reese. She should, and it would have been better, because I can forgive the little moment between her and Jack when, you know, they're having that little chat in the cellar or wherever they are, you know, because, you know, maybe the emotions have come flooding back or whatever. But so they have that little moment. But at the end, when she thinks she's going to die, it should have been Reese that she says, tell Reese I love him, because then it shows that she does love Reese deep down. She's got a bit of a thing for Jack, but it's Reese she loves. But for her to say, tell Jack I was like, no, Gwen, no. That, it really bugged me. I didn't like that at all.
Yeah.
And it's one of the few things I didn't like about this episode, because I really did enjoy it. But that, I was almost screaming at the telly, because it ruins the character of Gwen. And I really like Gwen as a character until they give her these little moments when she's does stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, you know, it just didn't like that bit at all.
Yeah, I read you. And it's not confirmed, obviously, that that's what she was going to say.
Yeah,
but I think it's kind of obvious that because of the scene earlier in the episode as well, where she was kind of not disappointed, but she thought that Jack was going to plant one on her. And when he walks away, she's got that kind of, and you get the feeling that if he did go in for the proper kiss, then she would have reciprocated, definitely.
But it suggests that if she's facing death, the person she really wants to thing is Jack. So it suggests that Jack's the be-all and end-all, really, which I think is a shame.
Yeah, a little bit. Just because, like you said, she's... like, when she's on the phone to Reese in this episode as well, you can tell that she's in love with him. There's no doubt about that. She can...
Yeah.
It's all good. They seem to be all good. But then she goes and does something like that, and it's...
It's like, don't mug over Reese. He's such a cool character as well.
And he puts up with a lot, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. Yeah,
his constant little, like in that conversation just then that I mentioned, he's like, are you coming home? Because he's got a promotion at work or something. And she's like, oh no, I'm not coming home. And he's got that, he's not too bummed out. He's not like,
got used to it, isn't he? He's like I thought you would be.
Yeah, he's not going to go and sleep on the sofa or anything, but he's just got that, oh yeah, I kind of expected that was what you were going to say. So he puts up with a lot, you know. I don't know. So in a way, you can tell that she's kind of moved on from series one, because she's got her beep together with Reese, and they've got engaged and stuff. But then that gets undone pretty quick with the whole Jack thing that we assume that's what she was going to say. And the only other person that hasn't moved on either, clearly, is Tosh. Because when her and Owen are looking around the warehouse for one of the canisters, there's a little conversation between the two of them, and, you know, you can tell that she's kind of hanging on his words a little bit. You know, she's sort of looking for him to flirt back a little bit. And she's got that, she's not directly outwardly flirting with him, but she has definitely got a little bit of a thing for him still. So she hasn't quite moved on. She still fancies him quite a bit, but you can tell that he's moved on. Jack's obviously Jack. He's never going to move on or move back or whatever. And then Yanto.
Well, there's old a couple Yanto. Of scenes of Yanto which are, I mean, he's just like this sort of jealous little puppy, isn't he? Giving the glares, glaring at John Hart and all that stuff. Thing is, him and Jack, they didn't really get together in Series 1, did they? Or did they? Because I've sort of forgotten, because we've reviewed Series 12 in between.
No, they didn't. That. No.
They did have, did they even have a, did they have a kiss or something? There might have been like one or two little moments between them, but because he seems to be really jealous of everything in this, Yanto, doesn't he? You see, every time Jack sort of flirts with Captain John Hart, you know, Yanto's looking at him with daggers, and I'm thinking, where did this spring from?
So there's, in the last two or three episodes of Series 1, there's definitely a lot of flirting going on.
A bit of flirting, yeah.
Not, he's a, not in your face, but you can tell that there's something boiling up, bubbling between them, yeah. And, but you can tell that he's perturbed by everything off the bat, because when they go into the nightclub where John Hart goes in near the beginning, he gets these weapons and the, just clears the place. And he's obviously waiting for Jack to turn up. That's the whole point of that. And then when they all arrive, that like the banter kicks off immediately between them. I'm talking about not when Captain Jack first gets there. They have that big, they're scrap. Obviously an item beforehand, or a fling. There was a fling beforehand. So after the kiss and the big scrap, bloody John Barrowman, any excuse to have a big old smooch with another actor.
It's in his contract.
Yeah. When the rest of Torch would get there, you can tell that Yanto's just...
a bit put out.
Because there's like a few things that John Hart says, and immediately like you can tell his face is like, his little eyebrow goes up, and he these little sort of snide comments and stuff. But what's weird also is... why Yanto was so coy when Jack was clearly asking him out on a date and so on.
Yeah, oh, in the scene when they're up in the that office.
In
or
the office, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Captain Jack's like, so I thought after this we could, you know, a movie, some dinner, all that stuff. And for some reason, he's, I don't know, he's, you could, you can tell that he really wants to. And,
yeah.
So I don't know, it's, it was kind of, but that's just chibbers for you, I suppose.
It's just building to something, isn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, actually, Yanto had a bit more to do. So in Series 1, one of our comments throughout all of our reviews really was that Yanto was just the butler, really. He was like Alfred from Batman, wasn't he? He was just in the Batcave making the tea and not really doing much. There was one episode where his girlfriend got turned into the cyber woman. Oof.
Yeah.
So he had a bit to do in that. He had a, he flexed his acting muscles a little bit in that one. Old Gareth David Lloyd. But you can tell in this series from off the bat that he's got more to do and he's evolved a little bit more, because he's not relegated to the hub just cleaning up. He's out with the crew. He's got a gun and he's chasing stuff down. And so that's kind of cool.
I think, yeah, I'm hoping he gets more to do, because I sort of, in the back of my mind, I remember liking Yanto as a character. And I, as we've watched Series 1 again, thinking, well, why do I like him? Because he's not really, you know, he's not been given anything to do. He cries a lot, you know, makes tea. And so I'm thinking, yeah, it must be Series 2 that he gets some development. There must be some reason that I remember liking the character. So, yeah, hopefully he does get a bit more development, a bit more action.
I think we see more of Yanto and more of Reese as we get further into Torch with him.
Yeah,
sure.
I was going to say, yeah. I'm hoping Reese comes into it a bit more, because he kind of has these little short scenes in every episode so far, doesn't he? He just pops in to make a phone call and then he's gone. It's just to remind you that, you know, Gwen's got, you know, a partner. So I'm hoping he comes into it more. And from my memory, he comes into it a lot more. So I'm looking forward to that, because he's a great little actor. What's his name? Here we go. Kai Owen, that's the one. Plays Reese. Yeah, great little actor, Kai. So looking forward to him being more involved. I'll tell you what I did love about this episode is how it started, actually. It kind of throws you off on the back foot, doesn't it? So the blowfish turning up in the sports car, and you sort of think, you think that's going to be sort of the villain or something for the episode. And what I absolutely loved was when the old granny, they say to her, oh, we haven't seen a sort of alien fish of you, and she's like, yeah, it's just driven off up there. You think she's good for a second, you think she's going to stand there all being all shocked, but no, instead she just goes, oh, bloody Torchwood. And it's like, yeah they've already sort of, you know, Cardiff's already got used to Torchwood and they're not even fazed by him anymore. And I thought that was a great moment, really good way to kick off the episode as well, because you sort of think it might be about these blowfish aliens, and they're really nothing to do with it. It's just a little fun intro. Like you said, it's just a way for Jack to swan in and blow something's head off and be like, hey, did you miss me? You know, it's just it's just really a build up for that. But yeah, that was a great, great start to the episode, I thought.
Immediately,
I thought, yeah, the humor's working, because it didn't always, did it? Series one, some of the humor was just cringe beyond belief.
Yeah.
That's what I mean about them finding the tone. I think they've, you know, the things that were supposed to be funny in this, I found funny. I just thought, yeah, they've managed to get the tone right between being adult but not sort of childish somehow. So yeah, I just thought it was a really good way to start the episode. And
it was really funny, actually.
And then you bring in, then you bring in the scene with John Hart in the club. That was great. I mean, he just, as soon as he comes on screen, he's just takes over, doesn't he? He's fantastic to watch.
He's very good, actually. Yeah,
James Masters, fantastic as Captain John Hart. What a brilliant character. I just love the look as well, the jacket they've given him, you know, the sword he's got on his back, you know, everything about him, the style, the swagger, the way he's so confident in his performance. Brilliant. Just, yeah, again, just drew me straight into the start of the episode. I was like, look at this guy just taking taking over the screen. A real good match for Jack as well. Because when they're on screen together, that, you know, sometimes if you're on screen with Barrowman, he will dominate that scene. These two really work well together, like, in terms of being a good match for each other.
Yes. No, he is good. And I was concerned at first, because sometimes when you get an actor that's really well known for one thing.
Was it Buffy?
Yeah, he was Spike, a character called Spike in Buffy. That's it, yeah. So that's his, probably his most well-known thing that he's been in. Even though he's done tons of films and other TV stuff and all that lot, you just know him for one certain thing. So I was concerned, like, is he just going to be like Spike but just in Torchwood? But he was actually really good. He had this real kind of flirty, sassy. He was a bit, you could tell that
full of himself.
Yeah, you could tell that he was written to be a lot like Captain Jack. You could tell because of their history and the working together and stuff. You could just tell that they were written to be quite similar and almost like a bit of a match for him, because you think about how Captain Jack is in terms of his authority within Torchwood, but then his also his kind of sexual orientation and his flirtiness and all that stuff. He's like larger than life, isn't he? To a lot of people. And you can tell that this guy was written to be, to give a bit of a run for his money. So in front of the Torchwood lot, he's also, he undermines him a lot and brings up a lot of stuff, and he plays it really well. He's got this kind of, you didn't, as a viewer, you don't trust the guy. You knew 100% that this whole story he concocted about finding the canisters before they explode and all that lot, everyone could tell who was watching that program that that was a load of BS. And it was great to see him not playing that over the top, because he wasn't, he never came across as too concerned about the safety of the people of Cardiff or the Earth or whatever. He always had a bit of a hidden agenda, it seemed like, which came to fruition towards the end, where ultimately he was just after the money.
Yeah.
But he was willing to kill all of the Torchwood crew, basically, to get that.
He's pretty ruthless, actually, when he wants to be. Yeah.
Exactly. I was going to say, yeah, you could tell that there was this underhanded thing, and he was really, like, the way that he just caught up with each group of people throughout the story. So Gwen, to begin with, the whole poisonous lip balm thing. That was a bit weird. But of course, it had to be a kiss that, you know, nearly killed Gwen. You know, she's bloody kissed everybody. Like, he's he's like the villain of the episode. And of course, you know, Gwen had to kiss him in some shape or form. And then when he catches up to Owen and Tosh, that's quite full on. And then, and then the culmination is pretty good. But as a character, I really liked that he was almost an equal to Captain Jack. You almost had a sense of, he's kind of an equal, but you knew that Captain Jack had an ace up his sleeve.
He always does.
Yeah, yeah. But it was great character, though.
He is a great character. It's great because he loves, I love the fact that he knows a bit more about Jack's past as well. And he plays up to that, doesn't he? So you're sort of thinking he knows all this stuff, and he kind of teases it to the rest of the tortured hub. He's like, yeah, me and Jack did this. And Jack's sort of almost shushing him down. He says, oh, no, they don't need to know about all the time agency stuff. And it's like, yeah, they do. You know, so there's this past that Jack's had that he's clearly not proud of. So that was interesting. But also, we're saying about him, Captain Jack Hart, being ruthless. Yeah, he's quite prepared to pick off all of Torchwood, including Jack. So you might think, actually, with all this history between the two, Jack would be the one that he would struggle to... He'd probably do it, but he probably wouldn't want to kill Jack. But no, they're up on that building. He just shoves him off. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a great moment when Jack's pushed off the top of the building. We know Jack's going to survive, but he doesn't. And I just thought that was great. In my memory, as Captain John Hart's walking away, I thought Jack came alive behind him, but that doesn't happen. You know, when he's sort of bent over backwards, dead on the bench. I thought, any minute now he's going to go and come back alive on the bench, but he doesn't. It's not until the reveal at the end, isn't it, that Jack swaggers in. Yeah. And John Hart's face when he sees Jack is brilliant, isn't it? He can't believe it. He's like, how are you? What? I killed you. How the hell would you survive that? So that was a great moment, I thought. Good moment.
That was really great, actually, because all of Torchwood would come back. So he thought that they were all goners.
Yeah.
Because he says it a couple of times. He's like, you'll never find them. You'll never be able to. You know, when Yanto legs off, he's like, you'll never find them. You'll never be able to save them, sort of thing. So when they come back and Jack comes back as well, that it just knocks him. You can tell he can't believe it. He's like, what's going on here?
Mm. Yeah, I did think that was a good idea as well. In terms of suspense, the whole thing of throwing Gwen's phone away and leaving her trapped, dying in that, you know, in that car, in that unit. I thought, wow, that's because it does build up a bit of sense. So I kept thinking, yeah, how do they find her? Like, you know, they find the phone, but he's throwing that miles away. I just thought that, again, was a good bit of tension in terms of the story as well. You know, kept me invested in it.
What did you think to the conclusion about letting him live? Because I was surprised at that.
I'm guessing he comes back. I can't remember, but I feel like we see him again.
He does, yeah.
So, yeah, I thought he did. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure we see him again. The thing with the ending that I thought was odd was the thing about... So, first of all, I thought it was great because it switches from day to night. And I thought, oh, that's cool. Like a really good idea, you know, just something really odd, like what's happened. And then they say, oh, no, we've jumped back in time, so we're going to have to avoid ourselves. I'm thinking, well, how the hell does that work? Because what happens... So are you stuck in a loop? So do you know what I mean? So if they've jumped back in time and... all the stuff that's already happened is happening over again. That just doesn't make sense at all. and there was absolutely no reason to do it. I really didn't understand that bit of it. That's the only other negative I've got, really. So how does that work? Do they eventually catch up with themselves but then go back again in time? That just doesn't work, Chibnall. And I don't know why you did it, because it adds nothing to the story at all, does it?
Yeah, you've fallen foul of trying to pick apart time travel.
But why did he need TV and film? It didn't need to happen. I just didn't understand it. So that was a bit strange. But the bit I did love was when John Hart turns to them and to Jack and says, oh, by the way, forgot to tell you.
Oh, just before he goes.
Found Gray. And you're like, what? And then he disappears. And Jack, obviously we don't have any idea who Gray is. We're like, well, what's that about? Mm-hmm. But Jack's face tells us, it means something, because he looks really worried, doesn't he? Or he looks quite shocked.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's great. So we've got a little story arc started there, which I thought, okay. And I vaguely remember it. Can't remember what it's about, but I remember I like this story arc. It keeps popping up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's cool, actually. That character, Gray, we soon... spoilers for anyone that hasn't watched through any more of Torchwood from this point, so... mute us for 10 seconds or fast forward, but Gray is Jack's brother.
Oh, is it?
That comes back, pops up throughout series two. It's a bit of like a mini arc that runs through, isn't it?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I honestly can't remember at all.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So it's great that, I mean, Jack is not, that really sort of shakes him, doesn't it? His face just turns immediately because he's quite smug. Yeah. to begin with. When the camera turns back to Jack, he's quite smug that he's given his mate a slap on the wrist and sent him off. And then when he says that, and it's like, crap, what's going to happen? But then he sort of protects himself, I think, Jack. He sort of shoves it to the back of his mind, turns around, and then off they go. Next adventure, please.
I can't remember how it plays out. I'm quite looking forward to seeing that unfold. Yeah, I really can't. I remember there's an arc, but I can't remember a lot about it at all. I have got one other slight negative, actually. And I've put, that was a very long 10 minutes. So they say they've got 10 minutes to get this thing off of him. And yet they managed to do quite a lot in that 10 minutes, including driving him to the rooftop. And I'm thinking, what? There is no way they did all those blood samples, got him out of torture tub, got him into a car, drove him to the top of the... There is no way they did all that. And Yanta's like, yeah, we've got 9 minutes and 40 seconds. And I'm like, but you're already in the car. There's no way you got there in 20 seconds. That was silly.
Yeah. Well, the problem is they started doing this build-up with... It almost felt like accurate timekeeping, because Yanta's got the stopwatch and inside the... I think they're still inside the hub, aren't they?
Yeah.
So he starts counting down quite accurately. He's like, you know, 10 minutes and so on, and 9 minutes and stuff. And you think, oh, crikey, they're really counting down. But then, and then it sort of goes out the window, like you said. They get all the way across to the other building, and because they have to get across town, because that's where the rift energy came through at the top of that car park somewhere. So they're like, you're right, yeah, they had to get him in the car. And the other thing as well, which is weird, is that there's no struggle from him either.
I thought, come on, this guy's nearly taking you all out, and now he seems to just be like being thrown around left, right, and center. I thought that as well. There's no way.
A little bit weird, that. Yeah.
Bit convenient, yeah.
What did you think to the visual effects in this? Because there was only a couple, really, but one of them was done very, very well. So we had like the rift energy stuff, which we've seen before. It kind of looks like the Doctor's regeneration energy. It's like this glowing orangey sort of thing. That looks kind of cool. But I thought the holograms were done really, really well. You know, like the Star Wars style. Because they even make fun reference to it, don't they? John Hart's like, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I love that.
But even before he dropped that line, within a second, I thought, crikey, this looks exactly like they did in Star Wars films. It's got like that blue colour with the sort of scan lines running through it and stuff. But it was very well done for its time. I mean, this is back in, 2008? Yeah, it was really well done. And the little hologram from the woman at the end, the woman that he stole the thing from, she looks really good as well. She hasn't got that bluey glow like the Star Wars-y effects. Hers is more sort of natural looking. But yeah, really impressed with that dude for back in 2008.
Yeah, I'd agree. I did think they looked very good. I knew you'd love the Star Wars reference as well. I thought of you straight away. But yeah, it was done well. And it was really nice that they acknowledge it by Captain Hart, you know, making that little gag. Because it was just a really nice moment, wasn't it? It's like, oh, me, everyone can hear me. So yeah, that was fun. It was fun and it looked really good, yeah. The only other effect really is when they're going down into the torture tub, which weirdly, I remember you saying that they'd stopped using that entrance, and then I think they have, but they do use it again in this one. So it's the, what does Hart call it? Is this the back entrance or something? There's some innuendo joke. The tradesman's entrance or something. So they go down using the stair lift, which they haven't used for a while, and then clearly it's all green screen. It didn't look too bad. Like you said, this is 12 years old now, so I think we can give it a bit of slack, but
it looked better than it did in series one.
So 12 years old, mate, it's not too bad actually. I mean, like you said, the effects, there wasn't anything I really stood out as being bad or anything like that.
Even the physical stuff, like when Paul Casey's wearing the blowfish,
it looks good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
He's been loads of things, that Paul Casey.
Yeah.
I wonder what he looks like in real life. Because he's always under a mask of some sort, isn't he, pretty much?
Yeah, he's been in so many things. Yeah.
He's been an Auton, a Slovene, Clockwork Droid, Robot Santa, Jadoon Captain, Pig Slave. He's been loads. Cyberman, Jadoon, God, you name it. Zygon. He's done the lot, that Paul Casey. But you could walk past him on the street and you wouldn't even know.
Yeah, he's done so many things. Yeah, he's been in He's been in, he's played zombies in different zombie films. He had a very small part in The Force Awakens. He played a very small part in that, but you wouldn't know because he was under all makeup and everything. So yeah, he's just done, he's done loads of stuff. You wouldn't even...
I'm Googling him to see what he really looks like and I can't find him.
Yeah, a couple of, before we get on to scores, a couple of cool little bits around the story, which are quite interesting. So I did a little bit of homework. I didn't want to come across on the podcast as we were dim or anything like that. So
no, we wouldn't want another 5-star review. No.
So yeah, one thing that's really cool is that you mentioned that the opening bit with the blowfish was really cool, like a really good opener and stuff.
Yeah.
That whole initial opening bit was actually conceived and thought up by Russell T. Davis. That was sort of his thing.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, so anyone that's read to that book that we always recommend, The Writer's Tale, there's, yeah, he writes a little bit around the run-up to Torchwood Series 2 and stuff like that. And he was meant to write the whole episode. He was meant to be the writer for episode 1.
Oh, right.
But because of timings and other stuff that he had to do, he just couldn't manage everything, so he offloaded it to the Chibbers. But he did say, I want that opening bit in, that whole blowfish thing and the hostage situation. So that's the reason why that's so cool and he's done so well, because that came out of his mind. So more genius that you can see on screen.
Yep.
And also in terms of timeline stuff and how we perceive the time of stuff. So when this was first going out in 2008, this was the first televised thing in the world of Doctor Who that brought you back into present day. Like, this is happening like right now. So, so when you're watching Torchwood, when you were watching Torchwood in January 2008, the events that you were seeing on screen were happening in January 2008.
Okay.
Because what happened previous to that, due to what happened in The Last of the Time Lords, everything that you see from... So everything you see in Doctor Who from the first episode, Aliens of London, right through until Last of the Time Lords, everything was always set 1 year ahead in those episodes. So everything that you're watching on screen, as you were watching it going out, so even back in Aliens of London, so when that went out in 2005, the events there actually on screen were 2006. And so on and so on. Everything you were watching was always a 1 year ahead in terms of...
Didn't realise that.
Yeah. So, but because of what happened in Last of the Time Lords, when we had some timey-wimey stuff, and we come back to Captain Jack coming back to Cardiff and stuff, now we're like a year behind, but from the viewer's perspective, it's like present day.
So this
was the first story to bring us back into what you were watching on screen is actually happening here and now, sort of thing. A little bit of trivia.
Yeah, you see, they call us dim.
They call us dim, eh?
Well, one person did.
I've got no other thoughts on this, bud. I don't know if you've got anything else.
No, the only other thing I've written down is PC Andy. That's just because I always love it when we get a little, get to see PC Andy again. He's just such a great little side character that just pops up now and again and sort of says to Gwen, oh, you're still doing your Torchwood-y stuff then? And yeah, I like PC Andy, but no, good story. I just want to say how much I love James Masters in this. I'm really looking forward to seeing him come back. I thought he did. I honestly can't remember much of Series 2 at all, but yeah, he was great. He made the episode. It had some good stuff going on in it as well. I mean, you know, I've got to be honest, when I saw Chibnall's name come up, I was a bit surprised because, like you said, I expected the first episode of Series 2 to be Russell, because I thought, you know, he'll kick it off. It's his baby. He'll kick off the series. So I saw Chibnall's name, and I've got to be honest, I did think, oh no, I really did. I'm sorry to say, but I have to be honest. But I'll give him credit where it's due. It was, I thought it was a pretty sharp script. Dialogue was funny. It moved at a great pace. So yeah, hats off, Chibbers. I thought it was a good story. Only a few little clunkers. I don't know about that bit at the end. And the Gwen thing annoyed me, but it's a good one. It's a good way to kick off series one, I thought. But James Masters, brilliant, and I'm looking forward to finding out more about this arc as well with Gray and all that stuff. So yeah, it's got me into series two. It did what it needed to do, I think, after series one. It's pulled me straight back into it, which is good.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Left me wanting more.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one, dude. Mm-hmm. Definitely. This is a good start.
It is a good start, yeah.
So in terms of scores, then, it's you to go first.
Yeah, I'm going to go 7.5. I thought it was good. Cool. It's not quite an 8. It wasn't perfect by any means, but it was a good start to the series.
Okay, yeah. Okay, cool. I'm going in with a 7.
7, okay. Yeah.
I just thought it was a good, solid start, but nothing that really jumped out that, like, I'm watching, like, amazing television.
No, it wasn't quite up there. As it wasn't an 8, was it? It didn't quite reach those levels of brilliance, but it was a good start.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. A very good start. Mm. Okay, cool. So a 7.5 from him, 7 from me. Mm. And we had a couple of audio reviews in, and then we had a few over the socials. So let's do the audio guys first. Our usual regular reviewer from Down Under. This is Sammy Satine.
Hey, Adam and his mate Dora. As in Dopey Dora. If you listened to last week's podcast, you might understand why I said that. Sammy Satine here. Anyway, kiss, kiss, bang, bang. That woman at the beginning is fantastic. I've met James Masters, lovely bloke, told me how awesome he thinks John Barrowman is. Speaking of Captain Jack, he was great in this. I'd love to meet him someday. If you like this story, I thoroughly recommend Big Finish's The Sins of Captain John. It's hilarious. Tosh, Gwen, Yanto, all of them are good. Having said that, this series is what Series 12 of New Who is to Series 11. It's better, it improves its mistakes, but it still needs Series 1. So Chibnall, good story, but I'm still waiting for you to really impress me. 8 DNA bombs out of 10. See ya.
An 8.
Interesting about the Big Finish audio. I'll have to give that a listen.
Yeah, cool. There's always a Big Finish story somewhere, isn't there, that links into stuff that we want to know more about.
Yeah, they like to fill those gaps.
Yeah, pretty much every time we do a review, actually, there's always one of our cool listeners who have sent in, oh, you should listen to this Big Finish story because it, you know, references that character or that villain, whatever. So,
yeah.
Thank you very much, Sammy. An 8. Cool. And lastly, this is that cheeky chap, Alex Kingdom.
Hello, Garrett Adam of the Big Blue Box Podcast. How are you all doing? Hope you guys are well. Kiss, kiss, bang, bang. The opening to season 2. Also, the name of a Shane Black film starring Robert Downey Jr., but we're not talking about that today. Today, we are talking about Torchwood. I think this is a solid enough opener to this. I haven't watched this one in a while. I remember when I was watching Torchwood, I'd normally start watching series 1 and just give up. So I've only watched series 2 maybe one time through, so it's my second viewing. It was solid, thought the characters did alright. Obviously we get introduced to some new things going on here, and it's okay. It's solid. I give it like a 7.5. It's a good enough opener. There are better stories in series 2, I believe. Can't wait to watch those with you. It's for me now. Didn't do anything to offend me, but didn't do anything that made me like go, I can't wait for this to happen. So overall, solid 7.5 out of 10. Hope you guys have a good rest of the show, and I'll see you next week.
7.5, 7.5.
He's going to be on. I've just remembered. He's going to be our quiz nemesis tonight, isn't he? Because he's me and you are doing a quiz tonight.
That's right.
And he's won the quiz 2 weeks in a row. Tonight, Alex, is when your reign ends, my friend. Maybe. We'll let you know next week on the podcast.
Yeah, we shouldn't speak too confidently at the moment.
Oh, I'm going to knock him off his perch.
Yeah, we should be careful.
Going to do a Kinder round. Sort him out.
Thank you very much, guys, for your audio reviews. And 8 from Sammy, 7.5. So pretty consistent so far. What did our reviewers think over on the socials? So over on Twitter, we had our writer Jordan Shortman says a fantastic episode. Series 2 is already much better than the opening one. James Masters makes an excellent addition, and it's great over this series to see Jack's backstory explored. Mm. And the team calms down a lot. Ironically, I think because Jack wasn't there, a great opener.
Yes.
Caitlin Dalek 100 says, I love this episode. My favourite of Series 2.
Oh.
James Masters' portrayal of John Hart is brilliant. I also remember him from the Battlestar Galactica spin-off Caprica, which was really cool to spot him from there.
Oh.
I love the mystery with him and Jack too. So good. 8.5.
Fair enough.
The Universe of Who says, a tad overrated in my opinion. but I get why it's so popular. The opening sequence is a hell of a lot of fun, and the highlight for me, it takes itself a lot less seriously than Series 1, which is great, but I'm not a fan of Captain John. So really? I'll leave it a 6 out of 10. Yeah.
Wow, okay.
John Winston says, I didn't like this one on first transmission, preferred it on a recent rewatch, but I still think it's the weakest of Series 2. Ooh. As a non-Buffy fan, I didn't get what the fuss was about with James Marsters at all. His character seemed well OTT. Much, much better was to come. So a 5 out of 10.
Yeah, I've never watched Buffy. I know, I don't know if Lou still listens, but she's a massive Buffy fan. But yeah, I never watched it.
Yeah, Buffy was good back in the day, mate.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, I might give it a go.
A bit cringe now, but actually, no, it's not too bad now. But
a bit cringe.
And lastly, on Twitter, John Griffith says, Doctor Who to Torchwood, eh? It's like going from playing Mario to Call of Duty in one night of gaming. Mm-hmm. He says, I like this one, though. More adult themes, a phantasmagoria of aliens. Oh. Guns and gadgets. Yeah. Phantasmagoria.
It's a word you don't hear very often.
A good character definition, and Mr. Barrowman at his cheeky best. 7.5 time agents from me.
Cool.
And over on Facebook, we had a few there. Dean Jones says, after a very mixed first series, Kisses Bang Bang is a great start to Series 2 with an engaging villain in John Hart. The team dynamic is starting to form nicely, and the plot keeps you invested throughout. Gives it an 8.5.
Nice.
Chris Parry says, my first ever episode of Torchwood, and the one that got me hooked. Camp as hell, and love the chemistry between the main cast. Mm. James Marsters is definitely a highlight. Thankfully, we got to see more of him in Big Finish. I also enjoyed the online game that they had running alongside the show. Overall, I feel this is an improvement in tone to Series 1 and doesn't try as hard to show it's an adult version of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
9 out of 10.
What was the game that ran alongside it? I don't remember.
I've not heard of that before. No, I wasn't privy to that back in 2008.
It does ring a bell, but I can't remember. Yeah.
Joseph Howarth says, finally an episode of Torchwood that I've enjoyed a lot. I feel like now the team has all fleshed out, the dynamic is there. Captain John was amazing, and I feel like I had a perfect balance of comedy and action in there. Maybe one of the better episodes that Chris Chibnall wrote for Torchwood. Now, if we can get more episodes like this, this will give us more incentive to me to continue watching the show, because it's just with Season 1. Glad they managed to turn it around, a 9 out of 10.
Cool.
And lastly, Stuart Mittal says, a vast improvement on Series 1. It's a fun little opener which shows Chibnall can write good scripts. John Hart is one of the best characters in the show, wonderfully played by James Marsters. The only flaw I can point out is the scene where Jack dies, quote unquote, where we know he's going to come back to life because A, he's immortal, and B, like they're going to kill off the main character in the opener. So that's not really
true.
Yeah, there's no real tension. But gives it an 8 out of 10 with the hashtag bloody Torchwood.
Yeah.
So some pretty, there's a few there that were a little bit low, but overall, dude, fairly consistent. I think the average is probably around a 7.5-ish.
Yeah, not too bad, is it? So when does he come back? Because I'm kind of looking forward to seeing him again.
Yeah, it's not for a few episodes yet, but he does. Right, okay. Yeah, he does come back. Yep.
Oh, cool.
Yoss. So that's going to do for Torchwood and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Thank you very much for sending in your reviews. Love that part of the show, as always. Next week and next month, in fact, we've got a bunch of reviews to get through, dude. So what are we doing for the next month?
So something a little bit different next month. And if you're a fan of The Sixth Doctor, you're going to love this. We are going to be reviewing the whole of Trial of a Time Lord, not in one day. We're going to do one story at a time. So next week we'll be starting with The Mysterious Planet. And then the following week, we'll do Mind Warp. And then the following week, Tale of the Void. And then the following week, Ultimate Foe. So it's a month of old 6E.
Cool.
Yeah, so the Trial of a Time Lord.
Yeah, I will be honest with you. I've not watched these in a while. I think I watched Mind Warp.
We saw that at the BFI, didn't we?
I was going to say.
Was it Mind Warp we saw?
No, I wasn't at that BFI showing.
Oh, were you not there?
No, but... Yeah, I've not watched them sort of...
I swore you were sat behind me doing a Sill impression.
No, you weren't there. So I've not watched them all together in ages, mate. Like, I'm talking years, I've not watched them. So, yeah, I'll be honest with you, I've not watched them in a while, and it's not one that I typically reach for if I'm in the mood for some classic Who, but it's going to be great going through the month of May. and revisit all these and see what we think. So we've put it off for ages, for years and years. Adam and I have discussed so many times, like, how the hell are we going to review Trial of a Time Lord? Because if we spread it out, it's going to be like, you know, what did we say about this character in this story that we reviewed like 3 or 4 months ago and all that stuff. We've spoken about it and put it off, so it's time to do it.
It's time to do it. This one, yeah, and Key to Time, they're problematic, but we're going to do it.
We are going to do it, yes. Okay, cool. I think we'll wrap there, dude, for 265.
All righty.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sticking with us and listening to another week of the Big Blue Box Podcast, episode 265. It's been great to have you along. As always, thank you so much for all of your reviews and thoughts on our review story this week, which was Torchwood Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Next week and for the rest of May, as Adam said, we're going to be looking at the Sixth Doctor box set story, The Trial of a Time Lord. We're going to kick off with The Mysterious Planet next week, so get that watched. Get your DVDs out or BritBox, whatever, fire that up, because we'll be asking for your thoughts and reviews as always. Until next week, head over to the website, bigblueboxpodcast.co.uk. You can listen to all of our shows over there. Plus, you can check out all of the cool articles that our writing team have put together over the last couple of weeks. We've had quite a lot of Big Finish reviews go up. So we've had the review of Susan's War, which was by Mark Donaldson, which was very cool. We also had the Short Trip stuff by Jordan. We had the Torchwood stuff by Jordan. And we also had a bit of a trip down memory lane, diving into the Big Finish vault. We had Sirens of Time and also Phantasmagoria. In other words, popped up twice by Jordan. So go ahead and check all those stuff out. There's links to all the podcast networks. If you've got a minute to leave a review, that'd be awesome. That really helps us out a lot. We're on the socials too, Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. Again, links on the website or just do a search for us. We'd love to chat Doctor Who throughout the week. We're on Discord as well. Link is on the website. Come and hang out and chat Doctor Who. Also, check out my co-host channel over on YouTube, The Geek's Handbag.
The Geek's Handbag. Go and have a look.
Go and grab a cup of tea. Settle in. Loads of very cool videos from Adam over there. And Adam is on the socials too, under the same name, The Geek's Handbag. Go and give him a like and a follow over on those. And yeah, we can all chat and waffle, chat nonsense about Doctor Who throughout the week between shows. Until next week, bud, for 266. My name's Gary.
My name's Adam.
And remember,